Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yo, it is another edition of Phillies Today. I'm your host, James Seltzer. It is Friday, April the 13th. Friday the 13th. I didn't even think about that. As we head into the final weekend of the first half of the baseball season, at least in terms of the All-Star break being the first half of the season, slightly past the halfway mark, as your Philadelphia Phillies, coming off a win yesterday in Baltimore, are now 52-40 on the season. That is good for first place in the NL East, as they sit alone in first place, a half game up on the Atlanta Braves, as the Braves getting the off day yesterday and the Phillies able to take advantage of a much worse Orioles team yesterday in Baltimore, as obviously the Orioles, the worst team in baseball, and the Phillies able to take advantage. Ended up being a little closer than expected, as certainly closer than it looked with one bad inning, but the Phillies still able to hang on 5-4. We will dive into that matchup from yesterday, look ahead to the Miami matchup, and of course take stock of where this team is at, as again we head into the All-Star break, the classically referred to as the halfway point of the season, is the Philadelphia Phillies again sitting at 52-40. They're in first place in the National League East. As you look through, and for reference sake, last season it took the Philadelphia Phillies in terms of last season for them to get their 52nd win on September the 3rd. September the 3rd. It is July the 13th, and we are sitting here at 52 wins. It is absolutely insane. Shout out to Gabe Kapler. Shout out to this team. We'll get to the resilient young group in just a minute as we look at them from a first half perspective. But right now, looking back at the win yesterday, again in Baltimore, coming off the four games in 3 days in New York, splitting the series with the Mets, winning games 2 and 3 and losing games 1 and 4 of the series. Of course, losing both their games on walk-off home runs in the bottom of the 10th. Can't remember how often that's happened in a Phillies series, losing two games in the same series on walk-off homers in extra innings. You don't see that very often, period, much less with the Phillies. So, again, look, it is just added to you. Think back on the first half, and I was kind of going through them yesterday, but the Hector Neris blowups, of course, the one in Washington where Max Scherzer and Jake Arrieta dueled, and the Phillies in a spot to win it. Wilmer Defoe singles in the winning run after Neris had walked in the run. The, of course, Jason Hayward grand slam off Adam Morgan. There were a couple other Neris blowups. We've had a few other late inning catastrophe type losses. This is a It's wild that with all these types of losses, this team continues to fight back and win the next night, as they have done both in that Mets series and then again in Baltimore last night. Nick Pivetta gets the job done against the O's. A really nice outing. Good to see Pivetta get on back on track, as coming off of obviously a couple rough outings there, not including his 13th inning showing when he came in the 13th in that Washington game and got the win. But as a starter, struggled last night. The line looked a little worse in the end than he really looked throughout the game. He goes 6.2 innings, 6 2/3, gives up 3 earned runs, 5 hits, 7-1, and a strikeout to walk ratio, which is great to see. And that's the kind of Pivetta we have seen had success this season, when he is controlling his pitches and getting the swing and miss stuff at the same time. That's when he's really most devastating. Ends up really just cruising along against, granted, a a not great Orioles offense, of course, not including Manny Machado, but able to cruise through his first six innings, then gets in trouble into the seventh as the Phillies at that point up 5-1 as their score, 2 in the third and then 3 in the fourth. That would end up holding up as they do get into some trouble. Pivetta allows a 2-run home run to Trey Mancini, which, again, had really been cruising along there. Just one more out for getting through the inning, and Mancini takes some yard, and then they bring in Tommy Hunter, and Tommy Hunter gives up a back-to-back home run to Peterson. Just, look, Tommy Hunter has stunk as of late. He has been a really just a bad pitcher for this team, and it's one of those guys where, you know, and this is why it's so hard to project these bullpen guys, because it can go from year to year. The last 2-3 years, Tommy Hunter's been a devastating, talented, awesome reliever, and this year he can't get anybody out. I mean, the pitch he threw to Peterson was a meatball right in the zone. It didn't drop at all, and Peterson just crushed it into right field. So it was not a great showing for Tommy Hunter. Luckily, Adubry Ramos, Adam Morgan, and Sir Anthony Dominguez getting the save. We're able to shut it down after the 5-4 game. Made it a lot closer than we had hoped it would be at any point. It really was looking like an easy dominating win as they got up 5-0 early, and then 5-1, 5-3, 5-4. But the bullpen closes out as this Phillies bullpen continues to have an outstanding month of July. Offense got going a little bit as well, and at least in the early innings, Jorge Alfaro with a big home run. He had a double and a single as well, 3 RBI on the night. Scotty Kingery goes 3-for-4, as does Cesar Hernandez. As Kingery, though, really stood out with a nice night again last night, as he's really started to hit the ball a little bit better. Smoked a couple balls last night and looking to starting to look a lot more comfortable in the plate. So we will talk about that coming up in just a minute as we break down this team. But again, just a nice performance last night where sans that rough inning for Pivetta, and then more so for Hunter on, oh God, just an awful pitch. But sans that inning that made it a little close, and they still go out and take care of business. This Phillies team feels like they're doing a good job so far of taking care of their business. You know, they took two from the Orioles in Philly. They took one there. They went to New York and they got away with at least a split. And anytime you got a doubleheader and you got Jacob DeGrom, you know, it's tough. You could lose one of those games or another one of those games or whatever. And again, they only lost them due to, you know, walk-off home runs in the bottom of the 10th. And they took 3 of 4 from Pittsburgh, or was it 2 of 3 from Pittsburgh, whatever. They have just continued to play good baseball, and we had seen them play good baseball against good teams towards the end of that streak in June that we had been so worried about. But now also you worried maybe they were going to regress against the worst teams. That is not the case so far. Again, as now 52-40 in first place in the NL East. Just it's really exciting to see where this team is at right now. And looking at, and we will look ahead to the weekend and second half coming up is exciting, because it's just really exciting where this team is at right now. And we'll go through kind of a few of the standouts and surprises, but first and foremost, just chronicling where this team is at heading into the last weekend before the All-Star break, the halfway point of the season. Even if they were swept in Miami, which of course, very unlikely, the Marlins bad baseball team. You got good pitching matchups for the Phillies. We'll go through that later. But again, I feel very good about the situation they are in heading the All-Star break. But even if they got swept, they'd still be 9 games over .500 and look likely not to. 12 games above .500 in first place. I don't know how you could possibly be disappointed with this team in any way, shape, or form. And I don't know how you could. Let's start at the top. If you're still one of the people out there unwilling to give Gabe Kapler credit, you are on the wrong side of history here. It is time to get on board. Gabe Kapler is a hell of a manager so far. And look, if people succeeded in their first year and then regressed, of course. But from what I've seen from Gabe Kapler, he's not anything like what people feared he was. He's not just some analytics nerd who's coming in and basing his decisions off algorithms and statistics. He's got a real feel for this. He's learning quickly on the job. And oh, by the way, he just played in the major leagues. He just played with these types of guys. Like, there are guys in Major League Baseball who he played with. People were so adamant that bringing in this statistically minded or inclined type of guy meant that he couldn't also be a baseball guy for some reason. But yet this is a guy who played over a decade in the major leagues and played in the league recently. If anyone's going to understand how to relate to players, understand how to, what players want to hear, what players need to be motivated. It's a guy who played in the league with recently. It is so fascinating to me that there is still a contingent of Phillies fans who think that the Phillies are succeeding in spite of Kapler. And I just don't see how you can make that argument. If you want to argue that Kapler is not the biggest reason for success or whatever, that's fine. But what I would say is you look at this team and it is a group of guys who at no point have all been firing on all cylinders. At no point is the starting pitching, the bats, the defense, the bullpen all been firing on all cylinders. At certain times, each of those things has been good. The starting pitching has obviously been the most consistent aspect of this team all season long, but at no point have they been firing on all cylinders, and yet this team is sitting in first place alone heading into the last weekend before the All-Star break. How could you not give Gabe Kapler some of that credit? How? It's antithetical. So I just think it is time. It is time to give the man his due, at least for what he's done through the first half of the season. Could he regress? Sure. But right now, I think what he's done and the way he's rallied this team, and again, the youngest team in baseball, and a guy who's never managed in the big leagues before, never managed outside of international ball or whatever it is, independent league, to do what they're doing and to be as tough and resilient, both on a game-to-game basis, but also just as a clubhouse. You know, they're tough in that it never feels like they're out of a game. They're tough in that they can get their butts whooped one night and come back and win a tough game the next one. And again, they're tough in the sense that they never seem to let themselves kind of fall down too deep a hole. They haven't once had a massive losing streak this season because they always stop it. Whether it's Aaron Nola, usually Nola, or Zach Eflin in June or whatever it is, they have guys who go out and make plays and don't let them lose multiple games in a row a massive amount. And that is huge too. And I think a lot of that has to at least some credit for that goes to Gabe Kapler. And I think from a strategic in-game perspective, he has been improving. It seems like he doesn't make the same mistakes twice. He learns from his mistakes. And look, I saw Joe Giglio tweet out a perfect example with the shifts after Jake Arrieta came out and spouted off. The Phillies have been a +3 in terms of runs saved on defensive shifts. They have been drastically better with their shifts since then. So maybe Kapler said, oh yeah, we could do better. Let's do better and find a way to be better. I think that it's time to kind of get past the booing on opening day. Get past the lifting Aaron Nola there. Get past the whole thing and just look at what the guy is doing and how he goes about his business and how much his players like playing for them. And yes, what he's doing from an in-game perspective, how well he's handling the bullpen right now. His decisions from a lineup perspective, everything's working for him right now. And I do think that winning obviously cures all. And if your team is winning, then everyone seems happier and all that. But I really think that Gabe Kapler deserves a lot of credit for where this team is at right now. And I just haven't seen enough people being willing to come off their stances from before and at least give him some acknowledgement. And who knows, maybe it's because we've been scarred before Chip Kelly or whatever, people like that. But I've been so impressed with what Kapler's done. And I'm excited to see what else he has in store moving forward. Speaking of that, we will take a look when we get back. Coming up, we will look ahead to this weekend series before the All-Star game in Miami, but also look at some of the specific guys to highlight and stand out from this first half of the season and who might be standing out coming up in the second half as well. It's Phillies Today. It's James Seltzer. We are coming right back. We are back. It is Phillies Today, James Seltzer, as we approach the All-Star break, the last weekend of baseball before the All-Star break. It's always so tough. I hate going Monday through Thursday without baseball. I think they used to play on Thursday. Now I'm pretty sure they just started up on Friday. If they do give me Thursday baseball, that would be great. But regardless, even waiting Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday is a struggle. It really is. And don't get me wrong, I enjoy the All-Star game itself, certainly not as much as I did when I was younger, but regardless, I still enjoy the whole thing about it, but that is too much time on baseball. Luckily, there's one game on Thursday, so I guess that's what they did. The Cardinals and Cubs will play on Thursday, but the full slate will come back on Friday, so it is 4 days without baseball. Got the All-Star game, that counts a little bit, but 4 days without the Phillies, I'm going to miss him. And so let's enjoy this weekend series coming up. We'll get to that. But as we sit here in the All-Star break, I wanted to highlight a couple of guys who, first and foremost, I think deserve highlighting from this first half of the season. And then looking ahead to the second half and of course, this weekend as well. But obviously, we don't need to belabor the Aaron Nola thing. We all know that. We've talked a lot about Aaron Nola. He is the best player on this team, period. He is the number one guy in the pecking order right now. That's what it is. So we don't need to go any further with that. The number one, he is the all-star. He is the deserved all-star and the best player on this team. So shout out to Aaron Nola. Let's look at some of the other guys though. As first and foremost, the guy who I would say on the offensive side of the ball is the most important, certainly now and moving forward, has been number 17, Rhys Hoskins. When he has come back from his jaw injury, is really lit it up offensively, and as a result, you've seen the entire lineup take off. Literally, the moment you can track back their hitting struggles, and then Rhys Hoskins returns from that jaw, and like that, boom, the offense is humming again. And I don't think that's coincidence. I think Rhys Hoskins sets the tone for this team offensively, and I've said multiple times, I think that the time off with the broken jaw actually probably a blessing in disguise almost, in that it looked like he got some time to go back and look what he was doing wrong and adjust himself, and he's been awesome since then. So Hoskins, I can't understate how great he is at his age. Again, he hasn't even played 162 games yet in his major league career, which is insane. And just a really professional, smart hitter already, especially at his age at 24. He's just really be excited about Rhys Hoskins' future and the now, but long term, this guy is going to be a real special hitter. I really believe that. Same thing. Odubel Herrera is also someone who I think is criminally underrated in this town. We're starting this season to start to get some more positivity around the Odubel / # Produbel movement, as he is look. I know a lot of people got mad earlier in the season in the 9-run game or 10-run game when he quote-unquote didn't run out ground ball to first base. That dude hustles. If you watch this team on a night-by-night basis, Odubel Herrera hustles his butt off. He might hustle more than anyone else on the team, legitimately. You know, he is always flying around both offensively and on defense. He has made so many highlight real plays this season you can barely count. Shout out to Odubel Herrera, another guy who for the first half of the season I think really deserves some major props for what he's done. And granted, he's had some cold streaks and the average has dipped below 280 and all that, but I think on the whole what he's contributed is a big reason why this team is 52-40, playing an outstanding Gold Glove caliber center field and also doing what he's done from an offensive perspective. I think it's been huge for this team. And some pop, 15 homers through the break is really impressive for Odubel. A couple other guys offensively, really just two more to mention. And I talked yesterday on Nick Williams and Andrew Knapp and what I've been seeing out of those guys and Scott Kingery. But when you really look at this offense from the first half of the season, It's been Rhys Hoskins. It's been Odubel Herrera. It's been Cesar Hernandez, who I've said multiple times is probably the guy I was most wrong about. I just thought he was a guy. You know, I didn't think he was going to be a really legitimate piece, and I was wrong. He is an outstanding, outstanding hitter who is just like a lock to be a 360, 370 on base percentage. That guy can lead off for my team anytime, and he's just a sound player. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He's smart. He is good at bat. So I love having Cesar here, and I didn't see that coming. And then the other guy is Carlos Santana, and it's someone who, when he came in with that contract and everyone just whining and moaning and, oh my God, what a terrible signing and all that. And then all of a sudden from May on, May 1st on, Santana's got like a 9-something OPS and has been just awesome for this team. And he gives you such good at-bats. Every single time that guy goes up to the plate, no matter what the situation is, no matter if it's a 10-0 game or a 3-2 game in the bottom of the ninth, he's going to give you a good at-bat. He's going to go up there and his eye is impeccable and he is going to give you a chance in any situation. And I really love that about him. He's been great to have, and he is looks already he's made a difference in the locker room as well. Mike Alfranco coming out and talking about how his recent surge has been such a big part to Santana, you know, kind of talking to him and helping him put things in perspective and all that stuff. And Santana's just been a great presence, but also I think a really underrated offensive player for this team and defensive as well. He's been a really good first baseman, especially over the last month or so. And offensively, just again, I think he's been criminally underrated. He's been such a great asset for this team. Flipping it around to the hurling side of the ball is we mentioned the hurling the ball side, I should say. We said Aaron Nola, obviously, just you got to mention the rest of the starting staff, right? I mean, it's so impressive what everyone except Jake Arrieta has done. And Arrieta, of course, has been a bummer. But a nice outing, his last one out. We'll see him this weekend as well, pitching tonight in Miami. We'll get to that coming up in just a second as Arrieta will head on down to pitch in Miami, the first game of the series in Miami tonight. But, you know, outside of Arrieta, Pivetta has been really so much better than you would have expected, especially the high-end stuff we've seen from him, those nights where he can strike out 13 guys and only walk one or whatever it is. I mean, he's been really good. And then Velasquez as well, for me, has been such a surprise in that he really has given you good outings more often than not. A couple rough ones, obviously, the one at home that was the 10-run outburst. But for the most part, Vincent Velasquez has been a really nice player for this team this year and a much better pitcher than I expected. And then Zach Eflin as well. I mean, Eflin wasn't even in the rotation to start the season, and now he's like a guy they won't trade for Manny Machado, right? So he's been great as well. And obviously, his wins streak came to an end in game one of the doubleheader against the Mets as he had won 6 straight starts. But just time to start a new streak because he's looked the part. He's been great. And then in bullpen perspective, I think the only guy you mentioned, Sir Anthony Dominguez, has obviously been the key there. Just by far the best arm out there. Again, gets the save last night. Just again, Joe Giglio, I saw a tweet out his stats since coming up, and it was a game-changing arm was the takeaway. And it's like, it is. That's what he is. Sir Anthony Dominguez completely changes the face of this team's bullpen, of this team's staff, of everything in it. And it just, it really is a game-changing arm. It's better than going out and trading for an arm. It's as good as it gets. So shout out to Sir Anthony, such a key part of this team. All right, looking ahead to this weekend and then the All-Star break. We'll be back. Normal shows next week. We'll be talking All-Star game and the Phillies at the break and all kinds of fun stuff. But looking ahead to this weekend, big series in the sense that you want to head into the break on a positive note, especially when you were in first place, as the Phillies will take on the Marlins tonight at 7:10. Jake Arrieta against Wei-Yin Chen tomorrow. A 4:10 start down in Miami. Zach Eflin will take the hill against Marlins. Richards pitching for the Marlins. I thought it was not announced yet, as it is Richards who will be pitching for the Marlins. And then Aaron Nola will be on Saturday, as he will be pitching Saturday, so he can pitch in the All-Star game. And that'll be Eflin against Jose Urena on Sunday. So hopefully the Phillies can go down there and continue to take care of business, heading to the All-Star break in first place as they are right now. They are in first place At 52-40, it's so exciting. So we'll be back on Monday. We'll talk all about the All-Star break and all the stuff going on around the league and all that. And, of course, until then, keep it here. We've got you covered today, tomorrow, the entire weekend right here on the Phillies 24/7 Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.